What I want to talk about is love. Now, you know, when Russ finished up the gifts of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and the things that we get out of that, mm-hmm. I took on the internet the next morning and went on Facebook, and the first thing I saw was a thing mm-hmm. that said 10 ways to love. Mm-hmm. I thought, wow, that just kind of fits right mm-hmm. in. And I'm going to read them to you, and each one mm-hmm. has a scripture that it relates to. Mm-hmm. The first one is to listen without interrupting. Proverbs 18. The second one is to speak without accusing. James 1:19. The third is to give without sparing. That's in Proverbs 21:26. Pray without ceasing. Now that's one that we've all heard many, many times. Colossians 1:9. Answer without arguing. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 17:1. Share without pretending. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 4:15. Enjoy without complaint. Mm-hmm. When you get something, it shouldn't matter if mm-hmm. it's not quite what you want. Mm-hmm. If you get a gift for your birthday, you enjoy mm-hmm. it without complaining. It was given to you, and it's mm-hmm. love coming to you. That's in Philippians 2:14. Number 8, trust without wavering. That's in 1 Corinthians 13:7, which is the love chapter, of course. Forgive without punishing. That's in Colossians 3:13. And number 10 is promise without forgetting. Proverbs 13:12. Philippians 2:14.
And the next one after
that is 1 Corinthians 13:7. That was number 8. The first one was Proverbs 18, chapter 18. And I assume they mean the whole chapter relates to listen without interrupting. You know, at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, what remains after everything is love, or faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. John Lennon wrote a song about it with the Beatles in 1967, All You Need Is Love. And he was a peace activist. Mm-hmm. In Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40, they asked Jesus, what are your greatest commandments? Or what is God's greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself, or in some translation, love your neighbor as you do yourself. Now, you know, love is a hard thing to give away. Mm-hmm. If I gave you $100, how much could you give away if I told you to give it away? Mm-hmm. You can only give away what you have. Mm-hmm. And in order to give more to somebody else, you need to have more. You have to be okay with yourself in order to show that love to other people. I started here in the cafe when Russ brought me in. And somebody would get angry. And I'd get angry right back. That wasn't what God wanted me to do. But he was teaching me a lesson. And that was because at that time I wasn't all right with myself. I had a lot of issues. And I'm progressing. And that, it went on for some time, and anger is one of my big issues. But Ione was here, and I think Rita was, and Gary was the other day, and a guy come in, and he plopped down his cup and says, I want a 50-cent cup of coffee. And I said, well, that's in-house only, sir. And I was nice about it. And he said, 50 cent? Well, that's really un-Christian, because this is a 12-ounce cup. And And I said, that's in-house, sir. If it's to go, it's $1.25.
Yeah, right.
And he says, that's just unfair. And he walks out and says, price gouge, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
And you know, I laughed as he went out the door. And the reaction is 100 times better than getting angry at him because he was angry. But it's still not what God wants. Because I'm not showing the love. I'm not showing what being a Christian is all about. There's a guy named Mahatma Gandhi. He was from India. He died in 1948. But he was a very peaceful and a very spiritual person. He studied in South Africa for almost 20 years. And he attended a Christian church. He was attracted to Christ and often read the New Testament, but he never became a Christian. When asked why, he replied, I got the impression that Christians were just a worldly-minded people going to church for recreation and conformity to custom. I have the highest admiration for the Christian life and for the Christ of the Bible. I might have become a Christian if I could have seen one. 20 years in South Africa, and by his standards and his spirituality, he never saw anybody that walked the walk. That's a pretty bad indictment against a bunch of Christians that were saying they were, and they really weren't. You have to go out by example and show that love to other people by example. In a lot of churches, up at the door when you leave, it says your mission field starts here because your work is out there. You know, most of you people in here are saved already, so I'm not going to convert any of you. But once you walk out the door, those are regular people, and you have to show them. I have a long way to go. We all have, you know, we're all in different spots in our walk. But we have to practice. We have to stay focused. We have to practice. And we have to show that love. Now, as far as focus, there's a guy named Tiger Woods. He's a golfer.
Yeah.
And when he was a teenager and a kid, he was focused. He had a goal. And he wanted to be the best, and he kept on track. But you see, the fairways are narrow, but the course is pretty wide. I don't know if you know where I'm going here, but in Matthew 7:13 and 14, he says the path to heaven is narrow, and the path of destruction is wide, and many will go there. Few will stay on the narrow road. Well, Tiger Woods had this focus, and he became the best ever. They said he was going to just blow everybody away. He's going to win more tournaments than anybody. He had focus. He had determination. He practiced, practiced, practiced. But the last thing that Russ talked about in the Fruits of the Holy Spirit was self-control. And what didn't Tiger Woods do? He didn't show self-control. He had an affair, and it threw him off. He couldn't concentrate on golf anymore. He fired his swing coach. He tried swinging harder. He hurt his back. And he's never been the same since. He still can't get back on track. We have to go out and keep our focus, because we can be misled by so much out here. And it's really, really easy. You look at what Paul and Silas and others in the New Testament went through when they were out there preaching the Word of God. They gave up all that worldly stuff. And I mean, they just totally cut it off, and they were just one-minded. And that is the focus that you have to have. One of the 10 ways to show love, pray without ceasing. Russ has said that also in one of his sermons recently. You need to pray all the time. It's a 24/7 thing. You should get that going while I'm making sandwiches. You know, and everybody came in and ordered food tonight. But I says, it's all right. I can do it. Karen says, you want to help? I suspect it'll be a bit, but I can handle it. When I worked at Culver's, it was way more intense.
Yeah.
I can do this. It's my job, and God wants me to do that. And that's how I'm learning to show love to other people by, you know, they come in and they want this, they want, well, that's what we're here for, is to give you that stuff. And it's my job to sit here and smile. My wife told me once, she said, you know, when I first started here and I come home and, oh, this person wanted this, and, oh, geez, they're just running me all over.
Yeah.
And she says, you know what? Well, those people, some of them, you're the only person that's going to smile at them today.
Yeah.
And that's showing them love.
Yep.
That's what we're here to do in this Christian ministry, is show that one or two people, hey, we love you. We know you're having a bad day, but we're going to smile at you and treat you with kindness anyway.
Yeah.
A lot of us get off that track.
Yep.
And we have to stay on that. Practice, practice, practice. James 1:19 through 27. As a matter of fact, the whole book of James is about self-control, about holding your tongue, not gossiping, not showing your anger because it's not what God wants from you. It's a very good chapter, and it totally relates. Your actions, the act of practicing what you have learned, is a great way to lead by example as Jesus did. I was saved 15 years ago, and that was after working with a Christian who for 16 years, and he never came up and said, Mike, you need to go to church. You're going to go to hell if you don't go to church. No. He showed by example what the love of God had done for him, and eventually I wanted some of that. I kind of fell away from that. And then this guy named Russ came down while I was fishing, and he gave me some more of God's love. And he started talking, and he was just always, he had that same thing that Charlie had. He had that light mood. He was genuinely friendly. He wasn't overbearing. And we started talking, and then we got the feel for each other. And he didn't push me either. Why don't you come down? We have service on Saturday. And I didn't for the first month, I don't think. But eventually I came back here. And I sat here with, you know, I listened to the service. And pretty soon I wanted more of it. You just have to remember that when you're not okay with yourself, that's the first part. That's the first part of love, is being okay with yourself. You have to get right with you. Because in the stream of things, if you're not all right with you, you can't give it to anybody else. If you can't give it to anybody else, you're not doing what God wants you to do. You have to stay the course. You have to stay focused. You have to practice every day, all the time, 24/7. I mean, you gotta do that at home. You gotta do that when you go to the grocery store. Yeah. Smile at the grocery guy, even if he's messing up your order and taking too long or talking with the other customer. Smile at him and make his day too. Because it's always nicer to talk to somebody that's smiling at you than somebody that's grumpy.
God bless you. Thank you.
I just think God has so much for us, and love seems to be the key that's
right.
And you know, it's interwoven with everything we do, everything that we're taught in here. It's a simple enough thing, but that self-control and staying focused is the hard part. We just gotta, I don't know if you're driving an old Ford and you get a Mercedes-Benz, well, you fall in love with that car. And you don't want to go back, but for some reason, you know, we find the Lord and we see his love and he's blessed us. And we look back and say, wow, man, you got me out of this. You covered me for that. But we have trouble staying there because we just, we don't look at it the same. We seem to take worldly goods with more affection and pull that in closer. And you can't take none of that with you. So you have to discount all that. Solomon said it was all nothing. It was all loss. It was nothing. Because God was greater, and that's the only thing that mattered. Isaiah, actually, said the same thing. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will, for those who walk in that way, it will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it.
Where is that, Mike?
That's chapter 35, Isaiah 35, verse 7 and 8. So here's Isaiah basically saying, here's that highway, and you got to stay on it because on the sides are the pitfalls, and the people that are unholy, unclean, and are not following the way of the Lord, they're not going to be allowed to come in this narrow one. And actually, it was my first time, and that's about all I have. I researched it, and I tried to get as much as I could, because I know Russell's gone over a lot of this. And I just want to stress that. To me, what's in here comes first. You have to be okay with you. If you're not, talk to somebody and find somebody that can help you. Because the more all right you are, the better you can step out here and show it to everybody else. I think that's a lot of what's wrong with this world today and why people ride and get down on Christians. Because there's so many of them not walking the walk. Oh, I'm a Christian. Yeah, but you don't act like it. And a lot of them don't. And like Gandhi said, he spent 20 years in South Africa and never saw anybody that had really focused and practiced what they preached. It's very important. And first, what people see, you know, actions speak louder than words.